Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdom's Queens podcast. Your Kansas City Chiefs are officially back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Champions 8. We are so excited to be here with you guys, and thank you for being patient with us for a week off that we had last week. As everyone knows, there were some events that happened in Kansas City after the Super Bowl parade. Jody and I were lucky enough to be at the Super Bowl parade, but there were some things that happened afterwards, and our thoughts and prayers and our hearts go out to everyone involved and everything that went down. So we just kind of wanted to kick it off with that and then dive into the exciting things. But it's a little bit of a sensitive topic. So
it sucked.
Yeah.
As a person who was there.
As people that were there and pretty close to it, it's not great. And our hearts go out to Lisa Galvin Lopez, who unfortunately lost her life. And our thoughts and prayers are with her whole family. So I just wanted to kick it off by saying that. And unbelievably tragic. Nothing we could have ever expected or imagined or hoped. You know, I mean, it was supposed to be a celebration and a great day. And it was until that very end of the parade. So I just wanted to kick it off by saying that. But our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers are with our entire family, especially because I know a lot of them faced some tragedy that day. So
absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I was not at the parade. I was home with my kids but as someone who, so I remember I was somehow listening to the radio or something as soon as everything happened. And I immediately texted Lexi and Jody. I was like, are you guys okay? Like, oh my gosh, like what's going on?
I think you were the first one to text us.
Yeah. I was just, it literally like happened. And I was like, are you girls okay? Like I was so freaked out because I knew where you guys were stationed. And it was, but like, I know that the cell service was also not great down there. So I know a lot of people were worried because they couldn't get a hold of people. And, but I'm going to give a little different point of view, as someone who was not there, but has a very sensitive 8-year-old son. This terrified him, knowing that, like, he heard this on the radio when it was going down, and I tried to get the radio off as fast as I could, but you don't think, you know, about hearing that on the radio when all this was going down. But I mean, it messed with my 8-year-old who wasn't even there. The fact, like, I think this was his first reality that things can happen, and it really did mess with him for a while. So, you know, if there's, I urge people, if they go through something like this, it's not weak to seek therapy. It's not weak to seek help. Do it. Do it for you. Do it for your children. Do it for whomever needs it. It is a very strong thing to do. So that's something I would highly recommend for anyone who is dealing with the trauma of that, no matter what kind of trauma you are dealing with. So that's what I would say. So
absolutely. And I know we said we weren't going to talk about this for a long time. And I actually said to y'all before this started, I'm not going to say a single thing. I changed my mind. I just want to say I love Kansas City. And I am so grateful to be from this city, to live in this city, and to see how the city is coming together to take care of all of these victims who are involved. Just individuals of the city, players of the city, different communities, different jobs, different ownership groups, like so many different people figuring out ways to come together to raise money for all of these people who were involved. It's just amazing to see. And I mean, Bills Mafia too. Shout out to them because they have done a ton also to help our kingdom during this. So, you know, even though this is a very tragic, tragic situation, there is still good and positive coming out of it by the way that everyone is trying to take care of our city and make sure that everyone is okay. So I will say I am glad to be a part of a community that can be selfless and to think of other people and their well-being in their future. So just like you guys said, so many condolences, sending so much love, praying for everybody who was there, praying for everybody who was just seeing outside, watching it on TV or listening to it on the radio. We're going to be okay, Kansas City. I know it sucks, but we're going to be just fine.
Yep.
So let's talk about something positive. Because that was tough.
Yeah.
Well, we made it.
We did it.
Y'all see these four trophies?
Back-to-back champions.
They're so pretty.
We basically went from like one to four of those.
Like a snap.
Literally, like, I feel like I blinked and was like, when the heck did we go from one to four? Like,
whoa.
I know. I was just thinking that today. I was like, man, like 5 years ago, there was just one of those. It had been 50 years since we'd gotten one, and now we have four.
Oil breath. No lie about
it. We're officially a dynasty, y'all. We're officially a dynasty. Let's go.
Let's do it.
We're the next dynasty, the next great American dynasty, right?
Sorry, guys. You go off of the textbook in black and white, we are a dynasty, baby. So it ain't going nowhere. You're stuck with us.
All the people adding dynasty to their Twitter usernames, like, that's cracking me up. Like, I can't do it because I can't. But
I can either.
I think it's hilarious. I'm here for it.
I love it. We love it. Keep going.
I love it. So, all right, let's get into it. I know days are all smushed together. We talked about leading up into the Super Bowl, right? And just everything that was going on, all the distractions, practices. There was so much to talk about. So I feel like we don't even need to get into any of that at this point. We could just really get into the game. So first quarter, the game starts, right? We go down. Actually, I apologize. CMC fumble. Let's start there. CMC fumble. So I'm watching and I'm like, huh, okay. Then next thing you know, we get the ball, Isaiah Pacheco fumble. Huh, okay. I remember saying specifically, who in the world would have thought the two best running backs in the league would have a fumble half of this freaking game? So let's just talk about the first half of the game. What are you guys' just kind of immediate thoughts about it? Because I really feel like the game went by like so fast.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I blinked and we were in overtime.
So fast and slow.
Yeah. This game. So what was so strange is going into this game, we were talking about how like we need to make sure the postseason 49ers play and the postseason Chiefs play. And I swear it was like the very beginning of the season Chiefs and the very beginning of the season 49ers, like, suddenly were matching up. And I was just like, whoa, like, guys, this is not us. It was us. We've changed. Stop it.
Like, yeah.
Calm down.
Don't act like that.
Stop it right now. Please.
You're messing with us right now.
Okay. I know, but I was like, we weren't doing anything. And that it was stressful. It was. And I don't know about y'all, but I mean, it felt like we were down way more than like 10 to nothing or 10 to six or whatever, 10 to whatever it was. It felt so bad. Yeah. And I know in every Super Bowl, we like to get down 10 because we're like, you know what? We need a challenge.
Why are we like this?
It's stupid. You know, like we don't need to be doing that. You know,
he's like, I like to keep it real close till the very end.
Yeah, which is dumb. This was the literal very end. And we much closer than typical. Yeah.
Yeah, I just watching it. I was like, I told myself, I'm like, I'm going to enjoy the first half. No matter what happens, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy the commercials. I'm going to enjoy halftime. No.
There were commercials? Oh my God.
Yeah.
I barely pay attention.
Never mind. Like, I told myself I wasn't going to stress. But then when you're in it and you're watching it and you're watching our offense struggle like that, and our defense actually was not, I mean, they weren't bad for the first half. I mean, they only allowed 10 points, right? Like, it wasn't terrible. And they caused a turnover, like, but it was just the stress of the game and like wanting your team to do that good and being in those big moments is like, and I trust Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, I know being down 10 at this point should just be a thing for us in the Super Bowl. If we're not down 10, maybe we should be worried now. You know, like, if we're not down 10, maybe now we should worry that we're not going to win. But
yeah.
I mean, really overall, I think the first half was very lackluster for a lot of fans that aren't big football fans. Like, I was listening. So this week, a lot of my like football podcasts are like taking a break or whatever. So I was listening to like some pop culture podcasts and things like that. And they're like, we were just watching for like, you know, the Super Bowl vibe, whatever. And they're like, yeah, the first half was really boring. And I'm like, oh my God, it was boring. I was like, I was stressed.
That was stressful.
Yeah.
But I understand, like, if you're just like a kind of like a not big football fan watching, how it would be boring because it wasn't many points scored or anything like that. But I think the second half, that's when things really turned around. Like, both teams just really started picking up the pace on our side on the offensive end. Their defense kind of rested.
Like, they got gassed.
Well,
I don't
know. Well, they lost players too. Like, I mean,
I felt really bad for
Greenlaw wasn't on the field, but he's been having Achilles issues the whole season, and I think maybe even prior. So I don't want to say like it was just a matter of time, but for a lot of guys, it is like you're scared. Yeah. You're like, oh great, they're having calf issues, they're having heel issues. Like, oh no. But I just hate that. I hate that a player that was playing so well, a big leader on their team, like he was. That was a huge loss for the 49ers. And I felt it terrible.
Really well the first half.
Like, I could totally see why the fans were bored. Right. I mean,
if it's not your team. Yeah.
The Chiefs didn't score until literally the end of the first half, and it was 3 points. And we thought we were about to score because, of course, like the first drive, it kind of died out. The second one, we're like, okay, we're at the end zone. Mecole Hardman had a huge catch. Mecole Hardman had a huge catch.
That would have been Kelsey.
Travis Kelsey was just outstanding. Like, I don't know if this is like playoff Travis Kelsey. And again, he was great in the regular season, but it's like in the whole playoffs. I don't know what like vitamins they gave him. I don't know what IV fluids they gave Travis Kelsey. He was a monster the whole entire playoffs. And I feel like you could see, like, just, and I know we're going to get into the mic up eventually, but when you watch the mic up, you listen to Patrick Mahomes and he's talking about the first drive. He was like, we got to get our intensity up. Our intensity.
Yeah. He's like, their intensity is higher.
Right. And so it's like, it's kind of great to see like that awareness that they were truly having on the sidelines. Like, there were so many great things happening on the sidelines between Patrick and the team, or Travis and the team, or Chris Jones and the team, or Justin Reed and the team. Like, you could see them like, we're winning this game. We're not leaving out of this game without winning. And it was great to see them still have that, even though they only scored 3 points in the first half.
It was a championship mentality.
It definitely was.
There were so many opportunities that I feel like they could have scored. And it was like, I didn't feel like they only had 3 points, but the first half went by so fast. It was weird.
It did.
It's already done. Move on.
If we're going to talk about.
He only had 1 yard in the first half, which is crazy. And then he went and had another 90 in the second half.
And Isaiah Pacheco didn't have like his best game, right? Like, based off of what we've seen from him all season long, he didn't have his best game, but what he did was perfect enough for what we needed in this game. Even though he didn't have these monster numbers like he's had all season long, and CEH couldn't do a single thing, what he did was just enough for us to be successful and to win this game. So, I mean, even when you go back and because I think I've watched the game like 3 times now.
Yeah.
I think I've watched the game like 3 times now. It is what it is. But Harrison Butker is just automatic.
What a season.
Oh my God. Automatic.
Y'all, but I do want to break the super. I mean, we can get into it, but.
No, go ahead. I mean, their kicker,
Moody.
Right?
Jake
Moody originally broke the record, right?
And then 2 seconds later.
5 minutes later, Harrison Butker's like, hold my beer.
That's very Chiefs-esque, okay? Like, oh, that's cute. No, we're going to break it now.
Yeah, I can try, but no.
And it's, I don't know. I will say some of my favorite matchups, too. I originally really liked Travis Kelce and Nick Bosa. I really liked that matchup. And then I loved Travis Kelce and Fred Warner.
This
is everything that I've imagined that football could be. Like, best tight end. Like, this is everything that I could imagine it could be. And I don't know. Like, I feel like Kyle Shanahan is a good quarterback. Kyle Shanahan is a good coach, but I just feel like And I feel like they have like one of the best, like the number one defense in the NFL, right? After our defense. So number one, number two, whatever. I just feel like their defensive scheme against us was not that great. Like, I feel like, again, this is another game where some of our errors were our own errors and not necessarily them, because there were multiple times where we should have scored at least three. And I guess you can say that is to their defense. Like, I'm not going to discredit their defense for being really good.
No, their defense played better than they had in weeks.
They played really well.
But monthly. I feel like we kind of got in our own way again. Like, we did. Like, there's no reason why we didn't go into halftime tied at 10-10.
Yeah.
Or even with the lead. So. Those are my
and
thoughts.
I think that's why it was like we knew the Chiefs, like it wasn't like we knew we were down, but it didn't feel like we were so down to where it was like, okay, we can't make a comeback, you know, because we were getting close on so many times. And at that point, you have to know you have Patrick Mahomes and he is very capable of making a comeback.
He literally, you saw the moment that he flipped his over my dead body switch. Mm-hmm. Like he walked out there and he decided, nope. We're winning this game. Yeah. I'm going to go put them on my back and let's go. And I'm not going to lie to y'all.
2 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Huh?
I said 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. He was like, get us the ball back. We're going to win.
I guessed it on a 49ers podcast the week of the Super Bowl. Okay. Guessed it on it. And I said something about how I wanted to see if Brock Purdy had that like clutch gene where he could put his team on his back and go win the game. And a 49ers fan was like, we don't need him to do it all himself. We have a team. And I was like, okay, it's not what I said. Calm yourself. Does he have the clutch gene?
And kind of
guess who? And guess who had the clutch gene that game? Patrick Mahomes. And guess whose team won the game? Patrick Mahomes. Sometimes you need a player who can go put his team on his back when they're struggling. And that's exactly what Patrick did.
And I feel like
turned it on.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I do want to give Brock Purdy a shout out. I feel like he played better than I thought he was going to play.
He definitely did.
I kind of thought the moment could be too big for him. Like,
yeah, he played great. He's fine.
But honestly, I mean, I was impressed. I have to say,
he played a lot better than I thought he was going to play going into this game. Because
but I didn't think it was special. Like, I thought he played a great game of football, but there was nothing special about it.
But that's where I think their star-studded offense comes in, and that's what everyone expected, right? Like, they have a really, really good offense, and they played like that all season long. And they had a few down games, whatever. I mean, we all did, right? But other than that, I mean, their offense played really well all season. And I just feel like this was actually a really, I know people are like tired of seeing the Chiefs and the 49ers, right? But like, I feel like this was a really good matched up Super Bowl. I feel like our teams were really evenly matched up. Absolutely. I feel like maybe we didn't have as many like star studded names per se, but like overall, I feel like we were very evenly matched up. And so I think it was a really, really good game. And that's why the first half was really low scoring, is because everyone was like just right on each other.
It was just a defensive matchup.
And like Jody said, like I loved seeing Fred Warner on Travis Kelce. Like, Fred Warner is one of my favorite players in the NFL. That's not a thief. And I love watching him play, and I love his like the way he reacted when Dre Greenlaw went down. And I know we'll have that in the mic'd up probably, but like just the way he reacted when his teammate went down.
Yeah.
Broke my heart. Broke my
heart. It did. Like Warner was distraught. Yeah.
It, like on the sidelines, like they're hugging him. He's crying. He gets down on one knee. He starts praying. I'm like, great teammate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. You can tell they are brothers through and through. Like,
right.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. So I for them for sure.
I do want to say before we get into halftime, Alan Grady is a freaking
oh my god.
I just want everybody to know that that injury happened at the 2 minute warning before the halftime.
Yeah.
So he played three additional quarters with this torn UCL, sprained UCL.
Torn. They said it was torn.
Yeah, torn.
Torn, right? I was like, wait, torn, sprained, torn. And one, what the heck would we have done if he couldn't have played, right? Two, seeing how the team was like, dude, I know that you are in so much pain and I know that you are dying, but we need you. We need you so bad. And he was like, I'm going to figure it out. And he did absolutely that. And I'm telling you, I would not have I did not notice it at all. Did you see his game change in three quarters?
No.
From the first half?
And San Francisco's D line was playing awesome. So, like, that's a testament. First of all, he's our backup, but he could be a starter for any other team in the NFL.
Absolutely.
And for him to be playing through a serious injury like that, and we don't even notice a drop off in play off against an incredible D line, like, give Nick Allegretti all the flowers
and
all of them. Add an extra 10 diamonds to his Super Bowl ring. Like, just do it.
I mean, because you know he's going to be a free agent this year, and I know we're going to get into that conversation in weeks.
We'll get into that next.
Weeks ahead.
That's like a 10-week.
Not doing it today.
We're not doing that right now.
There's so many people who are going to be here for you. I'm really sad to talk about it, but
He said he knew the extent that he tore it to, and he knew it wouldn't get any worse by continuing to play.
I mean, because is it worse to play with this sprained or torn?
Torn.
If it's torn, it's already torn, right?
But the thing with it being torn,
there's no worse, right? Like, it can't get any worse. So you just
The thing with it being torn is, I mean, it can affect your movement. It can, I mean, I don't think it's good either way, but sprains you can play through. Tears, a lot of times, those are much harder to play through because it affects your dynamics, like how you function.
Yeah.
Like,
and I mean, and that tells you about adrenaline, right? That tells you kind of like about adrenaline, the sideline, what the atmosphere was like, because I mean, we seen Patrick do it all last postseason. We seen him play on one leg for almost four games, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it tells you about adrenaline and just like team chemistry. And you could tell that, like, when they say, I'm going to go out here and do whatever I need to for my brother to the left and the right of me, you clearly seen that. And I just, when the news broke after the game that he had a tear, I was like, what? When did it happen?
Like, I knew he got hurt and I was just like, oh no. Like, but then he got back up and was fine. I was like, oh, maybe it was just a stinger or something. Like, I don't know.
So we rewatched the Super Bowl and we actually had to rewind that moment like three or four times to see him like kind of go down, and you could clearly see what happened. And forgive me because I can't remember which player which, but like, I'm just gonna say that it was, I can't remember. I think it was a running back. Whatever happened, his arm got caught with him in it, and then one of their defensive players kind of just, like, went forward. So you could see it happen. He goes down to the ground and grabs it, and you're like, oh, no. Like, we had to rewatch it, like, three or four times. Like, it looked painful, but, again, he got up and kept playing. And I'm like, okay, all right, Nick. I'm like, all right, Nick.
Yeah.
So halftime, it was Usher. Usher was amazing. We don't have to talk about Usher, but I love it. I loved every second of it.
I didn't like it.
I was bored.
What? Oh no.
The maybe only it's time and my mom watches the podcast. So the only time I was like into it was when he started singing, and then I started doing the rap part, and my mom just looked over and she was so embarrassed. Like, she was like, what are you singing? How do you know these lyrics? And I was like, Mom, this is what we listened to in high school. And that was I thought the skates were cool in the end, and I was bored the rest of the time.
That's because you're not a lover of Usher.
Well,
you don't
to
understand
be fair,
real music, Chrissy.
I know, but I listened like to straight Disney music, guys, until I was 18. Like, I did not really, I didn't get into all the cool music, like the cool people. Okay, I just didn't. I mean, I'm basically Snow White right now. Like, let's be real.
It's
if I sing a song, a bird would come in and clean my house. Maybe that would be great.
I want to say that for people who don't know, Usher did have a residency in Las Vegas for like several months. Like,
he did
7 or 8 months, and they actually extended it because of the amount of people who wanted to go. And on his shows that he did in Vegas, he was on skates every single night. So that's when people were so surprised that like he came out and was on skates and doing this. I'm like, if Usher did not come out in skates, I would have been very angry.
I thought it was really impressive. I would have fallen flat on my face.
I would have been on the side of the stage, and y'all would have been like, oh.
Honestly, though, I've heard a lot of negativity about his performance, and I thought it was great. Like, I did not watch it in the moment.
You couldn't watch it? What were you doing? Like, making a cocktail?
No, I had a space with Ross and I, I didn't watch it. So, and this is me last year, Jody, you were with me last year. I didn't watch Rihanna. I was.
Oh, like, I did. I know. Me and Charles' sister, shout out to Kingdom Cast. We were in your living room standing in front of the TV doing all the dance moves.
I know.
I need Bruno Mars back. That has been the best Super Bowl halftime show. Bruno Mars. Listen, that's who I need back.
Rihanna was so good.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I want Pitbull for next year.
Didn't
he? But it's in New Orleans. It's probably going to be Lil Wayne.
Is he from
New Orleans? Yes.
Okay, I was like, is he from?
Yes, he's from New Orleans.
I think Pitbull would be so much fun.
I agree. Pitbull would be a time.
Yes, so would be a time. And he has so many guest artists.
Yeah, I mean, he collaborates with so many people.
He'd be so good.
Yeah, like my workout playlist on Pandora. I swear he pops up on every song with like a different person, and I'm like, what? You're in this one too?
Okay, he's in every song. He has so many hits. I think that's the move.
What is Lil Wayne sing? What is a Lil Wayne song?
Lil
Wayne.
God bless. A lot of them. What would you know? if y'all listen to 610 every day,
I do.
They talk about two Americas very much. This is a two Americas moment. And that's okay.
I was so sheltered growing up. And mother, I love you. But I was incredibly sheltered.
Okay. I grew up in the suburbs. I get it. I will find a Lil Wayne song for you later. Amelie is a great song, but a lot of people don't know that. It's a great song by Lil Wayne. Lollipop.
Lollipop.
The only Lollipop song that pops in pops is the one we sang in elementary school and we were like walking around the gymnasium after awards assemblies.
I'm pivoting this conversation right now. Back to the second half of football.
People are learning so much about me today. This is great.
It's okay.
People are embarrassed for me. It's fine.
I feel like I now need to write a playlist for you and send it to you.
Here's the thing is, all of us balance each other out. Like, I'm in the middle. Chrissy's over here.
Over here. Lexi is literally the middle of both of us. That's from your days of living in L.A., though.
I'm so
you outside all the time.
All the time.
Oh, my God. My ears hurt.
Football. I know. Me too. Football.
That's hilarious.
Before we get back to football, Lexi. D-Mac is also putting all of the songs in the chat, Chrissy.
D-Mac, I'm writing these down right now. I'm going to go Google them when we're done.
Oh, my God. Just make sure the kids are not around when you listen.
Oh, okay. Probably a good idea.
Lexi, I wanted to tell you, because, you know, we flew into L.A. and then drove over to Vegas. Oh, my God. It was so freaking beautiful. I was just like, the mountains,
clouds.
It was gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
It was so good. Now, granted, I didn't have a voice. I was a little hungover. It was a long drive back. I had a venti medicine ball from Starbucks with 3 pumps of honey.
Ooh.
Still didn't have a voice. But it was a gorgeous drive. Like, it was perfect. Like, it was the perfect way to end a perfect weekend with the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl and getting a fourth ring. So I was just like, okay, I'm very glad we actually did this because I heard it was all kind of chaos trying to get out of Vegas's airport. So I'm really glad we ended up going to LAX. And they gave me a really nice Audi A8 and now I want to upgrade my car.
You're like, I had fun driving that through the
valley. I did. I thought we were going to die several times on the way there, but on the way back was so much easier. It was great.
So much more peaceful.
So, second half of football, 10-3.
D-Mac's still going. I love it. I'm so proud.
He just relived halftime now.
He did. Why he did. Okay. He probably has music playing in the background. Second half of football, the score was 10-3. We finally.
On the 10-6.
It started 10-3, and then we kicked another field goal, and then it was 10-6.
Oh, see, I already forgot.
We scored a touchdown. It was a lot happening there. So
that was a lot.
Chiefs defense held them to 10 until about, I can't find it, third quarter sometime.
I don't think they barely.
Until the fourth quarter, I apologize. Yeah. Until the fourth quarter, but we finally found our groove, so. Shout out to Andy Reid and Spags and every other coach who knows how to just go in and make these halftime adjustments because they are literally the best at it. Did you listen to Spags' interview today, Chrissy?
No, I had a lot of anxiety going on today, so I didn't listen.
Oh, no, you did. And that could also partially be my fault. Sorry.
No, I have some personal things going on, but it was a little much today.
So for those of you who listen to Odyssey Radio, go listen to 610. He was on, I think, Cody and Gold, and he just kind of talked about like having these great players around him with very high IQ and just how they are easily coachable and easily adaptable, and he could tell them something and they instantly get it. And it's like the best thing ever.
Like ever.
What did you say, Lexi?
I said he might be my favorite person, like, ever.
I love Spags. And then they even asked him, like, are you interested in possibly getting a head coaching job? And he was like, of course. Like, I'm never going to say, like, I don't want a head coaching job. But I'm also very happy where I'm at, right? Letting us know he wants to continue to keep getting rings. Right. And then he just spoke really highly about, like, Nick Bolton, which was great. Because we know he's the dot, right? So he just talked about how, like, there's so many plays that he'll want to do. And he'll ask him first, does he think this is something we should do? And he'll be like, yes or no. And he was like, I love my relationship with him because he really gives great perspective because he is on the field and he's listening to what the other team is saying. And he's able to be like, yes, this will work, or no, this will work.
Right.
So we spoke about a moment in the Super Bowl where he didn't like say like what the down was, but you know, there were a few different options that came up and he, you know, said it in his ear, like, I know we went out there and said this, but what do you think about this? And he said he just sat there and waited for his reaction. And he was like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they switched it up. And then they had I think it was third down because I think he said they had a three and out after that. So,
yeah,
you know, I love the relationship that he has with him. And, you know, if we're going to be able to keep Nick Bolton on this team, and I know we'll get into that in the offseason, but him and Spags connection is just – keep that together forever if that's going to do everything that's driving the defense the way that it is, because they came out in the second half and they
I think just the way that Spags speaks about every defensive player in that room in general is so cool. Like he said, he just trusts everyone. Like he's never had a player like L'Jarius Sneed, like Chris Jones, like Nick Bolton, like all those guys. And then you have guys like Drew Tranquil that come in and just grasp the system so quickly. And you have guys like Justin Reed that he's having one of the best years of his career. And it's just like that whole defense. And I think it was the Chiefs posted, I think today or yesterday, that it was like, we're the only team in NFL history to hold a all teams aside from the Green Bay Packers, because what a fluke game that was, to less than 27 points in 21 games in the entire season.
It's crazy.
In NFL history, the only defense to do that, which is crazy. So defense, they really do win championships. And I think they really helped us in this Super Bowl because our offense did. I mean, they found it at the end, but they did struggle at times. So I just think I'm so proud of our defense and their efforts. Like Leo Chenal, he was a guy that had a huge game.
God bless Leo.
Bringing a guy like Mike Pinnell back, he had a huge game that we really needed because we lost some guys on that D-line. I mean, McDuffie had like the game of his life, even though I wish he would have gotten an interception. He had like two chances to get an interception.
Yeah, no lie. When it was going into overtime, I was like, Trent McDuffie picks it.
Right. We all
right here. This is the moment. They've queued up the moment perfectly right here.
God, it did. But, you know, and then like guys like George and Chris, like their bond on that D line, and just so many of these guys, man, they just did a phenomenal job. And then Willie Gay, I mean, I could put my hat off to every single one of those guys that played on that defense. Like, that is a huge reason that we won. And now I think our quarterback paired with them ties it all together and makes that win, right? But like, I just feel like it was a team of destiny. Like we kind of said it earlier in the season. We're like, how funny would it be if these guys went on to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Because it
carries us. And sure enough.
It's crazy. I kind of want to talk about the offense for just a little bit. So I will say like, this is kind of a game where Indy, we really spread the ball around. And I know it doesn't feel that way. Like when you see players like Justin Watson or Mecole, who only maybe had three catches, but they had just as many yards as somebody like a Rashee Rice, who has six catches, right? So this, it really kind of tells you about Andy and his bag, right? Of his creative genius that's happening in there. because he was able to just have so many different options for all of these guys. And I will say that's the reason why the Chiefs have been successful over the last two seasons. That's why we kept seven receivers this year, because Andy knows how to make all of these different guys impactful in their own different way. Travis Kelce didn't even have 100 yards, but it felt like it, right? He went 9 for 93. And Mecole Hardman only had 57.
Yeah, right.
And Mecole Hardman only had 57, and it felt like he had a 100-yard game that game also because of the two huge catches that he made, the big impact that they made, met and kept the game going. So, I mean, literally every dude had yards except Richie James. Like, everybody got the ball.
I know.
Except Richie James.
And honestly, actually, can I shout out Justin Watson real quick? Because, like, yes. He had some huge catches.
He did. And MVS had a huge catch, too.
A different catch. Yeah. It wasn't like
playoff MVS? What?
Like, none of the wide receivers had, like, a huge game, but they all had their impacts in big moments to where we needed them.
I will say one of my favorite moments of the game, and I understand, like, Rashi didn't know about the bad snap by Creed, which, hey, Creed, get it together in the offseason. Thanks so much.
God.
But God. I loved that Rashi and Mahomes were kind of heated talking to each other on the sideline because he was like, I want the ball. I was open. I had a touchdown. We could have won. And I love that him as a rookie and Mahomes have a relationship to where they can talk to each other like that. Because those two could be incredibly special looking at what they've been able to do this season. And then after that play, you know, Mahomes, there was a huge drive where Rashi just had a bunch of catches back to back to back to back. And that was one of my favorite moments of the game where you could tell like they were not satisfied. Mm-hmm. Neither of them were satisfied with how that drive ended up. And they needed to let it air out on the sidelines. And I love that because
I love that Rashi was brave enough to do that in a Super Bowl.
Exactly. And you're walking up to, you know, quote unquote, some people's GOAT, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, the greatest quarterback or the greatest player in the NFL currently.
Yeah.
And you have the courage to go up to him and be like, man, I wanted the ball there. Like, you should have gotten me the ball. Like, I was open, blah, blah, blah. I love that he had the courage to do that as a rookie.
Yeah. Well, like, and I also the thing is like, of course, right in the moment they were heated, they didn't have much time. I'm going to yell at you and tell you what happened, and then we're going to move on. I'm almost 100% positive now, you know, after celebrating in parades and Disney and all of that, right? I'm sure that Pat is sat down with Rashi, like, all right, so here's what happened, right? Like, let's actually talk about the play so you can really understand. Because Patrick, he wanted Rashi. You've seen them all offseason together so he could be this player that he is today.
Yeah.
So I love what you both said. Totally agree. But I also think that is great because not only does Rashi have enough confidence in Patrick, and Patrick has enough confidence in Rashi, he's truly making sure he can build this relationship so that next season he'll have better. And all it's doing is helping his IQ be better. Because Rashi is just looking at himself, right? But he's probably not identifying the other things that are happening on the field.
Right.
And that's something that Travis Kelce is very good at. He knows what he's doing in his moment, but he also was very aware of the other receivers around him too and what they're doing and where they're at. So this is only amazing things, right?
That'll come with time for Rashi.
Absolutely. That'll come with time. I mean, rookie, right? And almost had a 1,000-yard season as a rookie.
And he wasn't even really utilized till the second half of the season.
Exactly.
But Mahomes even said...
Wait, real quick. What record did Rashi just break?
Oh, something about rookies in the playoffs.
Yards in a rookie season?
Most receptions. Most receptions in a rookie season.
And imagine if he would have actually played those first six games, like before the bye week.
I know, right? Well, Patrick did say after the game that he actually loved that Rashi was fired up about that play. And he was like, I hope he's like, Rashi's in Texas, so he's going to be seeing an awful lot of me this summer.
Absolutely.
And I was like, yes.
They're both in Dallas. So, they're both in Dallas.
All the time.
They're both in Dallas.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and kind of talk about what I don't think is the elephant in the room. And I guess that room is, what, 2 weeks old now? But the Travis Kelce running, bumping into coach, right? Andy Reid. So there has been just like a lot of like skepticism about this whole thing. I will tell you my thoughts, but I want to hear both of your thoughts first.
Okay. First, I want to say None of us are NFL players. None of us have ever played in a Super Bowl. Okay. Unless you're a current Chiefs player watching, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Hi.
But I don't think people understand just how fired up and passionate these players are at this level, especially in a game of this magnitude. And especially when you're coming up on the tail end of your career and you just don't know if you'll ever be back, right? You never know if you'll be back to a Super Bowl. But this season has been a roller coaster, right? You've seen all of our players that we don't typically see have a lot of emotional outbursts on the field, have emotional outbursts with, you know, look at Mahomes, look at Travis, look at our guys on defense. Like we've seen it a lot, right?
Yeah.
So, and another thing I want people to remember is earlier this season, Andy Reid went up and he bumped Travis just like Travis bumped him. Okay. I'm not saying what they're doing is right, but that is obviously their relationship. And who are we to judge their relationship? They are very close. Andy calls Travis on his crap. He's been doing it since he was immature, throwing his flag or throwing his towel at the flag referee thing, throwing his towel at the referee flag thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just like, those guys were under a microscope. And let me tell you guys, Travis Kelce was not asked, I bet you, 5 football questions the week leading up to the Super Bowl. All he was asked about was Taylor Swift. So let me tell you, while he did a phenomenal job answering those questions, he was there to be about football. And so he probably had a lot of pent-up stuff from that week too. So my thing is if you haven't been in the situation, if you're not a Super Bowl caliber tight end playing in the Super Bowl with a coach that you are incredibly close to like family, don't judge the situation.
3 of the 4 of these trophies, by the way. He has 3 of them.
Yeah, 3 of those 4. And people tried to say, like, oh, what if it was, like, a rookie going up to Andy Reid like that? I'm like, listen, Travis Kelce is a completely different situation than, like, a rookie going up to Andy Reid like that. Travis Kelce is going to be a future Hall of Fame tight end, like, without a question.
Yeah.
Arguably the
first
best
ballot.
Without
a hesitation, yeah.
And if you don't understand their situation, that's or their relationship, that's fine. But like,
are you a Chiefs fan if you don't understand their relationship?
Yeah, exactly. I understand. Like, there's a lot of new, you know, Taylor Swift Chiefs fans. There's a lot of new, like, just eyes on us in general, to where it's like, oh, that was so cringy by Travis Kelce. I'm like, it wasn't out of like fury and anger. It was out of passion for the game. Like, if you understand how he plays, that's how he's played his entire career. And absolutely, he's matured about it, but like in, like we said, in a Super Bowl, in that moment where he could have been in on that play blocking for Pacheco and maybe preventing a turnover,
it would have been a touchdown. Yeah. It would have been, if Noah Gray wouldn't have been in and Travis Kelce was in and took that block, there's no way that would have been a touchdown.
It was a
I get the frustration,
right?
Like, I get it.
It was a huge completion to Mecole Hardman, arguably one of the best of our postseason,
absolutely, right?
And then from going to that to then a turnover, I understand the passion there. Like, I get it. I get it. I get why Travis Kelce wanted to be on that play. And like you said, if he would have been in on it, blocking it, it might not have been a turnover.
Well, and it was a third down. So I'm actually surprised he wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, why was he not in? I'm not going to ever question Andy Reid because he has 3 Super Bowl rings. So
I understand both sides. And I think Travis just caught him off guard, and poor Andy Reid is an old man and he fell over a little bit, but it was okay. Like,
he did.
Andy didn't even see him coming up to him. It looked like he was so focused on whatever was on the field that, like,
Travis
just caught him off guard.
Yeah. And I think that's like my whole thing about it too, right? Like, now I will say this. Was everybody very amped up?
Yes.
Yeah. They probably needed to calm down just a little bit.
Right.
A little bit. But I'm not going to be mad at Travis for wanting to be in the game. I'm not going to be mad at Rashid for Pat not throwing him the ball. I'm not going to be mad at Pat for going off on the offense week 15 because they can't catch the damn ball. Like, these are things I'm never going to be mad at, right? So to see, and you guys hit it on the head, so I'm not going to say the same thing over, but to understand, and this is how you know there's a lot of new Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
But if you would have been here year 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 of Travis Kelce, if you would have been here during Catching Kelce, you would know who this Travis Kelce is and how much he has
grown
now. But I will say, I do think that I do think that everybody was just a little, they were very amped up. Like they were this Super Bowl.
That's the Super Bowl.
They only scored 3 points in the first half.
Yeah.
All week long, they had been here. Yes, the Travis Kelce questions only about Taylor Swift. I'm sure that was annoying, but I think he also kind of fully expected what was going to happen, too. Like, I do think his PR team probably prepared him for that going into that week as well. But there was a lot going on. Like, that week, the Niners said y'all hold a lot. The Niners' fire alarms are going off. The Niners are crying about the grass. There was a lot going on that week. So
a lot.
Pent up frustration and aggression, and that doesn't even include just all the doubt that this team has went through all season long. And you guys said it, like, this team was doubted. They lost 6 games in a regular season. They've never done that in Patrick Mahomes' era. So lots of emotions that they normally lots of emotions that they normally would bottle up very well, and you never see their frustration came out all season long. So am I surprised this happened in the Super Bowl? No, because we've seen it all season long. So where I think, yes, Travis does lead by example, and sometimes he does need to calm down a little bit because you don't want to be a bad example. I'm not upset about what he did. And if Andy Reid would have fell and got hurt, I would have cussed Travis Kelce out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Immediately.
I think Patrick Mahomes would have cussed him out.
Absolutely. And to someone saying, what if it was a rookie? Our veterans ain't going to let that happen.
No.
So maybe you don't know our veterans. Maybe you don't know Patrick and Travis and Chris Jones.
Yeah.
And they're not going to let a rookie go out there and do that.
I think this is like Patrick, Travis, and Chris are like, that's like Andy Reid's three sons right there.
Those are his children. Yeah.
I mean, the whole team is his children, but those are like his children's children.
Yeah. Like Sterling's his grandchild. You
know,
correct.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and I know some people were like making comments about like, well, if he's doing that to his coach, who is he doing that to in his personal life? And I'm like, how many football players have said that their football persona is a totally different person than their off the field persona? Like, cut it out.
Please. Let's get into the fourth quarter of this game. So it was crazy. The Chiefs went down 3. Tied the game. I'm like, went down 3, came back, tied the game. Right. So Niners ended up going in and scoring a field goal. They scored a touchdown and then a field goal. God, I'm trying to remember the game 2 weeks ago. They scored a touchdown and then a field goal. And then because we were already up 3 at that moment. So then they went up 3. They missed the kick. So it didn't go 4. And then we were able to go down the field and drive.
Leo Chenal.
Bless. Who has been hilarious on Twitter this week, y'all. If you have not seen his new Twitter and what he did to prove himself, go check it out. It's hilarious. He's got the milk jug and he's like,
no cap.
Jody. Sorry, Jody.
We love Leo. We love Leo. So Patrick Mahomes, right to the defense.
Yeah.
Just go get the ball back. I promise we're going to score. Just defense, go get the ball. Wasn't even talking to the offense at this point. Go get the ball back. We're going to score. Patrick's mentality in those last 2 minutes, 12 seconds, whatever it was, he was like, we're going to win the game right here. Just defense, go out one more time for me, and we're going to do it. Now, granted, all we could do, we got held to a field goal, and we tied the game up. Cool. Let's get into overtime. Let's talk about the overtime rules. Let's talk about how Andy Reid is the best coach in the NFL. I actually want to start there. Andy Reid is the best coach in the NFL. Here's why. You're telling me that every single player on this team, including the water boy, knew the overtime rules in preseason? In training camp?
In training camp. In training camp.
You're telling me that Andy Reid said, no, we're going to bring the people in from the NFL. You're going to come to these practices. You're going to come and have a meeting with every single player on this team. And you're going to explain to them the overtime rules. You're going to make sure that they understand it, because we're never going to get put in a situation where we don't know what we're doing. Waterboy, sit down. And everybody knew the rules and the expectations of the game. And none of the Niners players knew. They didn't understand until they had to read the Jumbotron with, as someone else said, hilarious, with Taylor Swift. They learned the rules when Taylor Swift learned the rules at the same time. That's what you're saying? So What are your thoughts about that before we actually get into the overtime of the game? What are your thoughts about the preparedness of the Chiefs and how prepared the NFL is? I'm going to just put it there.
I don't understand how you can come into a Super Bowl against a team that you know is known for comebacks and not know the overtime rule because, and then you admit it?
Is it an AFC thing or an NFC thing? Do you think AFC teams knew it?
I don't know. Maybe, but why would you even admit that to the media after the game? I guess we would have found out probably during the mic'd up anyway, but why admit I didn't know the rule. I didn't realize, blah, blah, blah. And then to have the,
she didn't hear you.
The choice to not take the ball and not defer it.
We're going to get there.
Real quick.
Embarrassing.
We knew the rules.
Yeah,
we did. The rules.
Jody and Lexi and Chrissy knew the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Jody, Lexi, Chiefs fans, AFC fans, Bills fans, everyone knew the rules. Kyle, you said
Bills fans knew the rule.
They knew the rules because it was changed for them. It was changed for them, okay?
And so, because of us.
Patriots fans know the rules because it was, they had, yeah, everyone had part in this in the AFC. NFC, I don't know where you've been, but Kyle Juszczyk, I respect you as a player, but how do you not know that rule? And admittedly say it.
Yeah.
Multiple players said that they didn't know it.
With no embarrassment either. He's just I didn't know. I just thought, and I'm like, dude, that's embarrassing. Take it to the grave.
What do you mean? When did it change? What?
Did you not watch the classic? Y'all didn't watch.
Oh, it's probably because. No, they were probably preparing for the NFC game because they played the Eagles, right?
Golly.
How do you regardless NFL rules?
How do you? I don't know. So all I want to say is Andy Reid is the best coach in the NFL. If you didn't know that, you now know that today.
Who was the guy that Travis gave a shout out to for enforcing it? Travis gave a shout out to someone on their podcast. Someone on the Chiefs that enforced it for 3 weeks in a row.
They had the guy that they brought in specifically, he was the overtime guy, and they worked on it for, like you said, two or three weeks. They had a game plan. They knew what they were going to do. They had a decision.
Absolutely.
All of it.
Yeah.
They had their play ready for the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
That's how. So if Andy Reid has taught these other 31 coaches in the NFL anything, they will be learning this. They will be practicing this. They will know this the back of their hand by the time they get out of training camp. Because Andy, clearly, he's been there. He's done that. This ain't new. And it just
have you ready for everything.
Those are the things that make me. So we hear all the time in the offseason, and we'll get into this.
Oh, yes. Mike Frazier. D-Max got it. Mike Frazier. That's his name. Shout out Mike Frazier.
Thank you. I was muted. Thank you, Mac.
Right. We hear all the time in the offseason how Andy Reid has one of the toughest training camps. And this is just more proof to the pudding of y'all have, her hair's longer than yours. But this is just proof to the pudding of everything that he is going through during these training camps and through these practices, because he is making sure that they know these rules the back of their hand. Oh, God, the Mizzou game is on. Sorry. Okay. I'm like, oh, no. The Mizzou game is on. Let's get into overtime. So, coin toss. Fred Warner, Patrick Mahomes standing at the line. They flip it. This is the second time, right? The first time they asked the Niners is heads or tails. Second time they asked the Niners heads or tails. They didn't ask the Chiefs because we were the home team, right? They won the toss. They decided to receive. Patrick Mahomes' face. If you have not watched the mic'd up yet, he turned into a little kid. He was
they wanted it.
It's Christmas came early for him.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Actually, when you watch his face, he just gets everything over with so fast. He's like, yeah, we want to kick it that way. Okay, go.
Before they change their mind.
Yeah.
before they changed their mind. And so I want to say that Kyle Shanahan, they said that they were going based off of analytics, which I think y'all know how I feel about analytics, because sometimes, you know what? Not going to get into that now. Yeah. We get into that in offseason too. But he said that he just wanted to have the ball third. So that made me think that he thought that if they scored a touchdown or a if they scored regardless, and then we scored anything, that they were going to get the ball back again.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, yeah, he has no clue what the heck is going on. So no one on that team has any idea of what is going on. So let's talk about overtime. What were you guys' thoughts about overtime?
Go ahead, Chrissy.
Oh, I was just saying, I was really proud of our defense for, because I mean, it looked like 49ers were going down the field, and then our defense really stepped up, and holding them to three was incredibly huge.
Chris Jones specifically. Chris Jones.
Yeah. Well, and Mike Pinnell too. Like, I want to give him his props too. He,
I'm just saying that last drive. That last
for
drive.
Sure. For sure. But, I think our defense, I mean, they showed why they have been the story this whole game or this whole season, you know, for the Chiefs anyway. They held a team that was going down the field to score a touchdown to three. They moved them back. They did everything they needed to do to get the ball back in Patrick Mahomes' hands, who went just down the field. And, man, let me tell you, I've never been so nervous on third downs in my life. And we were terrible on third downs at the beginning of the season, right? What was it, like a third and one? And I was just like, oh, dear God, this could be the whole – this is it. Third and one. And that was the problem the whole beginning of the season, right? Third and shorts. So we couldn't convert.
And I think my brother-in-law –
And all of last year, too. My brother-in-law and I were both like, do a run option for Mahomes. Like, don't throw the ball. Don't give it to Pacheco. Just do a run option for Mahomes. Like, do it. And they did it. And we're like,
back to back. And you notice, like, Patrick didn't run majority of the game.
No.
I feel like Andy was like, we're going to save this. Yeah. He's like, we're going to save this.
That one designed run for him, I can't even remember. I think it was like in the fourth quarter.
I didn't hear what you said at the beginning. I'm sorry.
The designed run for him? Was that the fourth quarter?
It was in overtime. His two design runs were both in overtime. He probably had one in the fourth quarter.
The one where he was wide open.
Overtime, for sure.
I think it was, yeah, where he faked it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then Nick Bosa completely fell for that. And then Patrick just blurted out.
I'm pretty sure that was in overtime.
And that because was...
Because he had two, yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. I love when we can pull stuff off like that. Like, that's my favorite kind of Chiefs. Like, yeah.
Absolutely. And it just really speaks to this team because, one, even if it wasn't designed, I feel like because Patrick kind of blacked out there for a second, if it was up to him, he would have ran 50 yards into the end zone.
Right.
So, I mean, I just.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know that he hears what Andy's saying, but I feel like those are one of those moments where he was like, we're going to win this game and it's going to be because of me. And I don't care about any of the rest of y'all. And I love y'all. And thank y'all for so glad we got here, but I am going to put this game on my back. Like, it was glorious. It was great to see. And then, last play of the game, right? They were like, they're going to go to Travis Kelce. You heard him say it. Really? They're going to go to Travis Kelce. And the fact that they did another rendition of Coon Dog and won the Super Bowl again is blowing my mind.
Tom and Jerry, baby.
Andy Reid said specifically last year there were multiple corn dogs. He's like, there's multiple of them. And I'm like, oh, I want to see every version of corn dog.
Maybe just added some ketchup and mustard to it or whatever.
So we've now seen three versions of corn dog. One, Tom and Jerry ketchup and mustard. Two, It wasn't supposed to go to him, but we're going to give it to Sky. It was supposed to go
McColl keeps saying that he was the first option on that play. And it's like, McColl, no, you weren't. We heard from Andy and Patrick that you weren't. Stop it.
Yeah, you weren't. It was definitely Pop. And that's okay. You weren't. It was Pop.
It's okay.
Right. But yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I just, that's the Super Bowl. Mecole Hardman.
That's the Super Bowl.
And I cannot wait to talk about the offseason, how I want him back on this team. And everybody's like, no.
Can we just say, like, what a big moment that was for freaking Mecole Hardman. I'm so,
so proud
for him. So proud.
What a crazy season, you know?
Like, I literally jumped up and down. I screamed. I was like, Mecole, like, no way. Like,
yeah.
So
just think of his season. You know, he goes to the Jets. He doesn't get to do anything there. He just sits and
rides all the way back to last season, Chrissy.
I know.
Like, the Mecole Hardman story goes back to last
year. I know. But being on the IR and the really terrible injury that nobody knew how serious it was. And then he goes to the Jets and then he comes back because he didn't do anything there. And then he comes here and he gets hurt and then he ends up on IR again. And then he comes back and he fumbles. And then it's like he fumbles and then he comes up big.
Yeah. And,
too, wow. when he was on the Jets, they were on Hard Knocks in the preseason.
Yeah.
And the Jets had a psychic come in and like speak to the team. And be like, okay, like he would like bring up certain players and be like, okay, this is, what do you envision or what do you see? And so the psychic brought up Mecole while he was on the Jets in preseason. And he's like, you're going to be in the Super Bowl. Who are you facing? And he's like, the 49ers.
What?
And yeah. You haven't seen this?
So, okay. To be fair, I watched it, but I probably was scrolling on my phone on Twitter, not paying attention.
Okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You pulled that clip today.
Yeah. I'm doing it right now.
He goes, so who are you guys? Who are you playing in the Super Bowl? And he's just asking Mecole specifically. Mecole goes, the 49ers. And then they go, what's the score? And they actually said 31-21. So I think a lot of people actually bet on that score to be like the final score.
Yeah, because it was 25.
But then they were like, what is it? How does it end? Or what? I don't know, whatever. And yeah, 31-21.
Oh, but it says Jets.
But that's because he was on the Jets.
They asked Mecole specifically, and he's the one
Mecole is going to be there.
So Mecole knew. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be in the Super Bowl playing the 49ers. Little did they know how that was going to work out.
And they scored 22, so he got close to the 29.
But I just think that's hilarious. Like, what?
I need you to pull the clip.
I'm looking for the clip right now.
I need to see it.
Freaking circle, today. Man.
Like, oh, if I knew the guy's name, that would make it so much easier.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. You can't even write that stuff.
You can't. That's crazy. The NFL script writers could kind of write it, I guess, right? That's amazing. And I love that. So shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs for being a dynasty. Three Super Bowls in the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, Chris Jones era. Woo! It's a lot of them.
Harrison Butker, man. You can shout out.
God bless. And I just want to say this too. And I know, you know, this is another off-season topic, but that freaking 2022 draft class.
Oh.
Ooh. Wow.
They don't know what losing is. They're like, what's losing?
No, they have no idea.
They have no clue what losing is.
They have no idea.
And if we go back next year and win, like, are we going to keep them?
I mean,
I don't want to talk about it.
We
positive tonight, y'all.
But like,
made myself so sad.
Also, shout out Jalen Watson recovering that fumble. Awareness on special teams recovering that fumble. Immediately result in an MVS touchdown. Shout out MVS. Shout out playoff MVS. A big thing.
MVS made himself some money this postseason for another team.
Oh, my
God. He made himself some money.
Oh, my God.
This postseason for another team. Okay, so let's real quick, and y'all both watched the Mic'd Up. What are some of y'all favorite moments from the Mic'd Up? You got to go. Is that what you're saying? Or you're listening to your background.
Oh, no, I was reading a comment and then I tried to point and I couldn't figure out how to do it backwards.
Oh, you were pointing to the comment. Wait.
That.
Can I start with my favorite?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. My favorite moment from the Mic'd Up Well, I have a lot. But the beginning where Chris Jones says, I'm going to cry, and he's talking to George.
God, no!
And George is like, wait, bro, you're going to make me cry. And he's like, you can cry if you cry with me. And George is like, okay. And he like, Chris says like, thank you for like letting him cry. They're just like the cutest best friends.
First of all, Chris Jones been crying since.
They're like.
Preseason.
They're like, they're like freaking.
It's like big brother, little brother.
Yeah, definitely.
They're like gentle,
for sure.
They're like gentle giants.
They are.
Like gentle giants. That's the best way I can say it. Like they're so scary on the field, but like they're the softest little teddy bears off the field. And I just love them. And that was just the sweetest moment to start the Super Bowl. I just.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is when Chris Jones, when they were showing him during the anthem, I was like, where's the tears, Chris? And then he blinked and two came. I was like,
there we go. We're winning.
Because I was literally asking, I'm like, where are they?
We're winning. How much money did Chris Jones make in incentives in the playoffs? Like 5 million?
Like 5 million almost. Yeah.
It was like 1 point something every game. Like,
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, man, ahead, that mic'd up was fun. I mean,
so many fun moments.
Honestly, like this isn't even our player, but I feel bad because he's getting some flack for it. But I thought it was really funny when George Kittle was like, "Hey, George," and then you know the fumble happened, and it's like, "Oh crap," because he's getting. But that's just George Kittle. I really like George Kittle.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. Yeah, he seems like a really fun guy. But he's obviously getting flack for that. But I thought that was really funny. He's like, hey, George.
thought it was funny. Like, it would have been a funny moment if it didn't result in a fumble.
Right, exactly. Like, how many Georges do you run into in, you know, nowadays? Yeah. But I also loved, and it's because it's bulletin board material for all the offseason now, and it's wonderful. When Fred Warner was on the sideline, he's like, he's just an ordinary quarterback. He's just a regular quarterback.
That was
Who was it?
That was
God bless.
Oh, it was not Fred Warner. The other guy.
Yeah.
We don't care. He lost. We don't care. But
what was
it? It was him. We don't care. He's
dang,
dumb.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember.
He's dumb. We don't care. Has an I in it. You know, that's all I care about.
McLeod?
No, it wasn't McLeod. No. But but I just love that he was like, he's an ordinary quarterback. Like, well, there's nothing special about him. And it's like, oh,
Jair Brown.
Yeah, whoever that is.
There's an I in Brown.
Nobody, I don't know who that is. No, I was
there's sure. An I in that. There is.
Maybe the first name. I don't know. But I love that because I'm just like, thank you for the bulletin board material for all offseason.
Mahomes is going to hear that
he's ordinary and not special.
He's just a regular dude. He's
just a regular dude.
Yeah.
The other bulletin board material was that Fred Warner was saying, like, Travis Kelce isn't that guy.
Yeah, yes, that one too. Like, thank you, sir.
Fred Warner's like, Travis Kelce is
he's not built for that. He's not built for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, sir.
I think my favorite parts were I just love Patrick Mahomes. Like, I just love everything about him. I love his yelling. I love his running and trotting up and down the sidelines. I love his motivation. We're fine, guys. We got this. We got this. We're winning this. I love Patrick. I love Travis. Travis was just like angry the whole game, and I loved it. Like, he was like, we're gonna win this damn game.
Oh, wait, another one. I'm sorry. Can I interrupt?
Yeah, go ahead.
Being in play.
We're excited. Okay,
no, go ahead.
Travis's moment with Shavarius Ward when he was like, oh, is it better over there? It's better over there.
Oh, I thought of another one. Sorry,
love that.
Go ahead.
When I don't even know if it was on the mic'd up, I can't remember, but it was when Travis was drawing all the attention and MVS was wide open and he's like running and pointing to MVS because he was just there to draw the people.
Yeah,
that was great because he was just like, oh, you came with me. Well, it was great.
Yeah,
I love it. Sorry, I got really excited because I love that.
Y'all looking at me because he knows he's like that.
I know.
Yeah, well, I can't think of anything else because y'all have probably went through the whole thing.
Sorry.
But I will say.
What about three-peat? What about three-peat? You want to talk about three-peat?
I can't wait to talk about if Chris Jones is going to be here or not. Mm. And I also can't wait to talk about Travis Kelce. He was so drunk.
Oh my gosh! I could not.
We had a bottle of 1942. At that moment, I knew this was like right at the beginning of the parade route. I was like, "He ain't gonna make it. And for those of y'all who were not at the parade, usually Travis goes after Patrick when it comes to speeches, right? Nobody knew where he was. He was in the back of the crowd with all the people, and they had to pretty much drag him up to the front. They were actually kind of ending the speeches, and Travis stumbled his way up there and made a speech.
Chris was like, no, we got to bring Travis up here. And Travis was like,
ugh. How bad do you think Travis felt the next morning? Like, oh. I just, like, he's my age, right? 34. I've never been drunk before. So I don't know what that feels like, being hungover. Props to you people who survived that.
I drank a lot of 1942 in Vegas. Okay.
I don't know what 1942 is besides a year. Like,
probably it's like a premier tequila.
Oh, tequila note.
Really nice. Like,
yeah. The bottle is close to a $200 bottle. It's a beautiful bottle too. Anyway.
Very beautiful.
Went to Vegas. Got invited to a Thursday night football event with a lot of media from Kansas City, and it was open bar and it was top shelf. So me, irresponsible, let me get 7 rounds of 1942 shots. So I know how I felt after not drinking nearly as much as Travis Kelce drank.
Right.
So God bless his liver, his head, his body, because I'm sure he was sore afterwards as well.
Not to mention how sore he was. Like,
But no, very proud of this team, very proud of the Mic'd Up. We're back.
I just loved, there were so many moments of the Mic'd Up. Like, I loved like Matt Nagy saying to Andy Reid after how phenomenal he was, and like he's like, let's go eat unlimited cheeseburgers.
You made me remember something, Lexi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There was one moment in the Mic'd Up, and I tried not to tweet through it because I knew people hadn't watched it yet. But when Isaiah Pacheco fumbled the ball and Matt Nagy went over to him and was like, you know, everybody's going to come over to you and tell you to hold the ball with two hands. You already know they're going to say that. Block that out. What happened before doesn't matter. It's everything that happens now going forward. Right. I'm like, you know what, Matt Nagy?
That was good
advice. You're all right with me. You are all right with me, because
I liked that.
He got a lot of slander this year. Me, he heard him giving slander, right?
Right.
So to see that, like, he can coach him out of a very tough situation, because I mean, Isaiah Pacheco also struggled coming right out of the second half, too, right? Yeah. So to be able to
see, I know. Like,
to see him kind of like keep him motivated and like,
right,
don't forget who you are, like, you are that guy, like, it happens. So
that was a really cool moment.
I really loved that was probably actually my favorite moment out of the Mic'd Up, because I said Isaiah Pacheco didn't have like a game that you would normally be like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Isaiah, like, there was definitely kind of a down game for him, but what he did was just enough, and I'm gonna just continue to always say that. So
yeah.
No. We are the champions.
Actually, Pacheco, I think, joined some really good company today. Let me find the stat.
She's like, no, I'm gonna dig it up.
Losers, cause we are the champions. Oh, hi, Minnie. Yes. Of the world.
Minnie is like my height.
Okay, so
she's short though.
I'm like, I'm confused.
Minnie's she's a husky dachshund mix. Yeah, so she's very
my
short.
Height.
Cute. She's
her very
cute.
Biggie.
Okay, so Pacheco today, or in the Super Bowl, joined one of only 4 players in NFL history to tally at least 75 scrimmage yards in each of his first. This is kind of a LeBron stat, right?
Oh gosh.
Tallied at least 75 scrimmage yards in each of his first 7 career postseason games, joining Emmitt Smith, Terrell Davis, and Frank Gore.
That's crazy.
That's
Isaiah Pacheco.
Incredible.
And I think he's the only second year running back. I mean, this is a crazy stat anyway, to have 2 Super Bowls in the history of the NFL. Yeah.
I'm telling you, this 2022 class does not know what losing is.
No,
they've never lost. They only know rings.
Not at all.
Like, I think we're going to win every Super Bowl for like history as long as we have Patrick Mahomes. But say we did go to
the Super Bowl. The way you said that. It's just so great.
I'm just saying. Say we did go to the Super Bowl and we lost, which I doubt is going to happen. They're going to be like, what is this? Like, we're going to have to check on them. They're not going to be well.
No.
That's all I'm saying. They're not going to be well because what is losing? Like regular season, cool. What is losing? So I love this 2022 class. They my favorite class.
Favorite.
Even better this year.
Yeah.
They're going to do even better this year. So
I just can't believe we're a two-peat that hasn't been done since the Patriots in like 2004. 2003, 2004, something like that.
2005.
And they probably cheated.
2004, 2005.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
They probably cheated somewhere in there, too.
They probably cheated. We did not.
Hey, we paid the refs, so it's okay. I mean, you gotta do something, right?
And I honestly...
Yeah, right?
I just want to put this on record and say that, like, and y'all can hold me accountable for this later.
I probably will forget.
I'm recording this. Hold on.
I genuinely can see us three-peating.
Absolutely. We can win this season.
Yeah, no, we're winning the Super Bowl next year.
This was not the season we should have won. This is when you all should have beaten us.
Last season, but especially
we were not good this year. We were not a good football team this year, guys. We were not good. Like
we were. Our defense was
transparent. This team did not get their lives in order to like week 14.
We were not good and so good at the same time.
It was like Raiders game, and they were like, okay.
Guys, that
Raiders
game on Christmas, or was it Christmas? Yeah. reminiscent of our 2-14 Chiefs
Christmas
game.
Morning.
I don't know which of y'all were here for that season, but holy cow, that football against the Raiders on Christmas reminded me of just that feeling of dread that you had watching every game, but you're like, I can't stop watching. It's so ugly, but I just can't stop. This is my team. I need to watch that football game. I mean, it's a good thing it happened because I think that was our wake-up call. But when that game happened, I was just like, oh, boy. Like, we're in some trouble.
There was a point of time and I was just like, this team is not. I vaguely remember saying, God, please don't let us end up with the sixth seed in the playoffs.
There was times where people thought we might not make the playoffs.
I was like, oh, my God.
I don't think we ever felt that way. But
no, I knew we were going to make the playoffs because we were going to win our division. But right. I 100% thought that we were going to possibly drop because I was like, okay, the Broncos and the Raiders keep winning. Why are they winning football games?
Why are we losing football games?
Whoever the script writer was for this year needs to be fired. So it was a low point of life for a moment.
It was.
I was just like, I don't know what we can do as a team.
That's why I think it's like all the more, all the more incredible that we won. Like, y'all, the Chiefs played a game in negative 30 degree weather here at home.
I was there.
And won well. We were there. They won well. Then they went into Buffalo where it like snowed and the Buffalonians had to shovel out the stadium.
And mind you, they didn't shovel out the stadium the week before. Remember that.
Right.
They barely shoveled the stadium the week before, but Kansas City's coming to town. Oh no, there was not a piece of snow in the stadium when we made it there.
And then we got to Baltimore and it rained and it was weird. And the Chiefs dominated that entire game.
Yeah.
And then had to play the 49ers who were dominant all season long and the favorites and this and that. And it's just so rewarding to see what they did this season.
This was the year to beat us. And
we felt that last year. I feel it even more this year.
I cannot. I vow to not say a negative thing about this team next year. There's literally nothing I can say.
Okay.
Like, knocking on wood.
If we lose seven games, then I'll start yelling. If we lose seven games, then I'll start being angry. Yeah. But I'm going to be like, I don't care what you say. I don't care how many drop balls. We had the most drop balls. We had the most offensive line penalties. We lost six games. We didn't have Charles and Minnie for six games. We got Miko, lost Miko. We never had like a fully healthy team all season long, every week somebody was hurt.
Yeah.
I have nothing negative to say about this Chiefs team. We're going to go to the Super Bowl next year. We're going to win in New Orleans. It's going to be lit. I can't wait to go.
Go get me some beignets.
I want to eat voodoo pasta. I want a bomb margarita. I want a grenade. That's what it's called. I want beignets. I want all of the things.
I love me some beignets.
She's absolutely saying something negative about training camp.
Yeah, 100%. Jody, we need to be honest with ourselves. Okay, that's called self-love. I mean,
there's literally nothing I can say about. Did y'all see this team? Like what? No, I'm hungry.
Me too. All right.
To wrap it up, just what an insane season. What an amazing season. It ended in a Super Bowl victory. Once again, back-to-back Super Bowl champion.
God. People hated us before. NFL Network.
Stop it.
Somebody already put out a top 10 quarterback poll, and Patrick Mahomes is at 3. So I don't know if y'all seen it, but I saw it. And I was like, Josh Allen at number 2, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Who was number 1?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson,
Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes.
Stop
looking at the list.
Well, that's guaranteed Super Bowl win. So thank you, guys. Thanks for that.
It's only February. What are we doing?
he was ranked number 3, you said? Is that 3 as in 3, Pete?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3?
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to get 5 trophies on my screen. I'll figure it out.
We'll find a way.
Like, I'll figure it out.
No problem.
I'll figure it out. This is
you're going to have to be like my background for the rest of my life. Eventually, like 8 are going to need to be on there. So,
do you know that we've like not lost in over like 370-ish days?
Yeah, it's fantastic. People are crying on wood. We're not even in the season anymore.
I'll never stop. New times I knocked on wood during that Super Bowl.
We're gonna at least be Super Bowl champions for 600 days. It's okay.
I'm just gonna wear a block of wood around my chest.
I need to actually get the count.
You know what's nice though is like I have so many freaking superstitions during the season that like I can't do even during the week. So it's really nice to just be like clean.
Have your regular life.
But you know what's annoying is every season like the outfit changes and you're like going through trial and error trying to figure out the outfit.
It got real bad there towards the back end. In the playoffs, in the playoffs, I panicked. I was like, we went to Vegas. I was like, should we go to Vegas or should we stay here in the living room? Like, what are we doing? Are we going to be the Jinx? I can't wear what I wore the last 3 weeks on the Super Bowl. So.
I went to Vegas. I went that divisional round week and I was like, for sure, I'm going to jinx something while I'm here. And then we won and I was like, okay, I'm going to bet on everything. Like, we won while I'm here.
I couldn't bet. So, and I've been actually, I want to put in my Chiefs.
I finally took down my Christmas tree.
I took
my Christmas tree. My office is still up. And mine the one in my basement is
mine's
also
partially down. It's not all the way down.
My lights only work at the very top half, but I haven't taken it down because I was like, oh my God, that's it.
Unpacked a lamp yet. So until I do that, my Christmas tree is going to remain up because it's being
lit. Oh, I thought you were saying you hadn't unpacked it because you bought it. And it's like, no, this lamp could be the reason. That would be me.
Very, very true.
I had a giant bag of Twizzlers every playoff game.
I want to put in a Chiefs win the Super Bowl 2025 bet. And I'm like, I can't.
Coda.
Don't jinx it.
Okay, I'm hungry. We'll be back next week. What are we gonna talk about? We'll figure that out.
Well, we have the
free agency
stuff.
So next week we'll talk about free agency, and then our favorite moments of the season, I think, would be fun.
Well, because next
week might be two different
shows.
We could do a lot on free agency.
Yeah, we can't. Well, because it started today, so there's a 14-day window. So next week will be 7, and some people will probably have gotten franchise tagged and maybe not. I can't wait to discuss where Russell Wilson ends up.
Right. And I think our biggest things for the Chiefs are L'Jarius Sneed and Chris Jones. So I can't wait to see what happens there.
Drew Tranquil.
There is a lot of players. Tommy Townsend. Like, there's
The list is like nine people.
So it's disgusting. We'll discuss that next week. And then the week after that, we have the combine. So that's exciting.
Yes.
Football never actually leaves. It really doesn't. I mean, there is always something going on for football. It just may
when you're winning.
Especially when you win.
So when you're winning and you don't stop playing football until February. Yeah.
We got some good
stuff. Some people stop playing football in December. It's crazy.
Imagine. Yeah. We haven't related to that in a really long time. So.
Well, January, like week one, let me be specific.
Yeah. We have some fun stuff coming up for y'all on King's Queen.
So. Oh, yeah. We're supposed to be doing a giveaway. I swear to God,
we're going
to
do it next week.
Yeah. With everything that happened last week, that kind of got put on the back burner because there were more important things happening. Yeah. So we felt to put our energy towards that. So
we will organize it and make it really good for next week.
Yeah,
we did hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. Yay.
Before the Super Bowl. Yeah, we did.
Oh, let me go see where we're at real quick. Can one of y'all? Oh, Lexi.
Ken Seltzer.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. I was like, while I'm looking this up.
While we're doing that, yeah. So Ken Seltzer, still our most amazing sponsor. Hard Seltzer, pineapple and peach. It's brewed right here in Kansas City. The first Black-owned seltzer company. And actually I think in the world, or at least in America, but
America for sure.
America for sure. We appreciate them and all their continued support of our podcast. And we cannot wait to try their new flavor coming up here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and there were some issues, so they're not gonna put out bad product, which I love.
They got a perfect
which I love.
Fine. No, and we get that. So in the meantime, get their original flavor, pineapple and peach hard seltzer. And we appreciate all of their support and we can't wait for what's to come with them. And we will include them in our next giveaway. So just be on the lookout for that. But yeah, cheers to Ken.
Cheers
to Ken.
Cheers.
Delicious.
I don't have anything to cheer all
natural.
Today,
it's all natural.
Like, all I have is water.
All natural, 100 calories.
I'm really trying to get my life back in order. I'm like, okay, football season's
over. We've all fallen apart a little bit, but I still had a can left. So
I mean, the amount of weight that I put on supporting these Chiefs, God
bless.
I'm
going to eat, clean, and work out. Football season's over.
Season's over. Got to prep for next season.
Got to be disciplined.
Got to get back on track.
But hey, guys, we really appreciate you guys jumping on with us. I know we were off last week, but we're really happy you guys were here with us this week. Back-to-back Super Bowl champions. It's still just crazy to me. Like, I get chills thinking about it. Watching all the videos makes me emotional. It's awesome. But hey, Sporting KC starts on Saturday. If anyone wants to join the Sporting KC hype train, come with me.
The Royals are at spring training.
Yeah, and the Royals, good for them. They're hopefully better this year. Hey,
they are. They're going to be better this year. I'm excited.
That's great. I know they signed Bobby Witt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bobby Witt, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. Like, the Royals bore the crap out of me. I'm so sorry.
They're going to be good.
And I played softball, okay? I was a shortstop. I was good.
I'm going to their spring training camp with my dad. On March 1st. Yeah.
So join the Sporting KC train. Come along with me.
I do want to come to a game this year because I have never been to a sporting game.
Come to a game with me. Guys, I'm so much fun at I don't know how much fun I am. I'm very intense at soccer games because I'm very analytical.
I'm down. Sign me up.
Come with me. Let's get a group together and let's go and bring the Arrowhead energy to Children's Mercy Park.
Do it. I'm so down.
Yeah,
I'm going to a Royals game. I'm going against the Astros. So I can't wait. Yes. I'm like, yes. Sign me up for that. I want to go. So excited. Good times coming.
Yeah.
Sports and KC are still very much a thing. So
yeah. They were in the playoffs last year after starting terribly. So due to injuries and everything. But yeah, so
we'll have KC Current, their first game in their brand new stadium in a couple weeks too. So definitely gonna go check that out because the stadium is beautiful. God.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is beautiful. So
same. But thanks for joining us this week, you guys. We will see you next week talking free agency and God knows what else. But until next time, your queens have spoken.
Bye, y'all. Love y'all.
Bye.